welcome to the Tao of Our Understanding Recovery Podcast. In this podcast, we discuss mystical works of literature and how they relate to recovery. We hope you enjoy today's podcast episode.
Hello, this is Buddy C. Welcome to the Tao of Our Understanding Recovery Podcast. Today we have Lori and Brian and Drew and Samsung SM-A326U. Good to have everyone today. We will be discussing the 41st verse of the Tao Te Ching. If you guys have not listened to last week's podcast, I would highly recommend it. There was only four lines in the 40th verse, but we had what I think is one of the most powerful conversations we've had. I thought it was very good. I felt very fortunate to be witness to that conversation. Any announcements or helps, go to buddyc.org. A lot of things there for you. Got a resources tab with a bookstore with most of the books that we talk about here. Have a daily Tao recovery devotion. We have a list of podcasts, both recovery related and just spiritual podcasts. The spiritual one, actually, those are podcasts I enjoy. I put on podcasts that I knew of. Lots of podcasts there. If you have a podcast recommendation, let us know about it. We have a private Facebook group by the same name as the podcast, The Tao of Our Understanding, where we post the meetings, we post other comments and any other helps that we can. I really wanted somewhere I could post Tao-related recovery stuff is what I wanted. That was my purpose for doing the Facebook group. Oh, that's Dennis's Samsung SM-A326U. Good to have you, Dennis. So I see you got your phone working. That's good. That's good. So just go to buddyc.org for that stuff. But we're going to get into the conversation today. We're in the 41st. Drew, you want to read Stephen Mitchell for us?
Sure. When a superior man hears of the Tao, he immediately begins to embody it. When an average man hears of the Tao, he half believes it, half doubts it. When a foolish man hears of the Tao, he laughs out loud. If he didn't laugh, it wouldn't be the Tao. Thus, it is said, the path into the light seems dark. The path forward seems to go back. The direct path seems long. True power seems weak. True purity seems tarnished. True steadfastness seems changeable. True clarity seems obscure. The greatest art seems unsophisticated. The greatest love seems indifferent. The greatest wisdom seems childish. The Tao is nowhere to be found, yet it nourishes and completes all things.
Thank you, sir. Brian, you want to read Jeff Pepper or the Derek Lynn?
I can. I was going to say Laurie popped up in the chat and said she'd read the Jonathan Star. If she wants to go, she's welcome to, and then I'll go behind her.
Have at it, dear.
All right. Jonathan Star. When the best seeker hears of Tao, he strives with great effort to know it. When an average seeker hears of Tao, he thinks of it now and again. When the poorest seeker hears of Tao, he laughs out loud. Tao is always becoming what we have need for it to become. If it could not do this, it would not be Tao. There's an old saying, the clear way seems clouded, the straight way seems crooked, the sure way seems unsteady. The greatest power seems weak, the purest white seems tainted, the abundant seems empty, the stable seems shaky, the certain seems false. The great square has no corners, and the great vessel is never filled. A beginner may be clumsy, but after practice, what a talent. A large drum may sit silently, but when banged, what noise. Tao lies hidden, yet it alone is the glorious light of this world.
Thank you, Lori. Brian?
Yeah, I'll read the Derek Lynn. That says, higher people hear of the Tao. They diligently practice it. Average people hear of the Tao. They sometimes keep it and sometimes lose it. Lower people hear of the Tao, and they laugh loudly at it. If they do not laugh, it would not be the Tao. Therefore, a proverb has the following. The clear Tao appears unclear. The advancing Tao appears to retreat. The smooth Tao appears uneven. High virtue appears like a valley. Great integrity appears like disgrace. Encompassing virtue appears insufficient. Building virtue appears inactive. True substance appears inconsistent. The great square has no corners. The great vessel is late in completion. The great music is imperishable in sound. The great image has no form. The Tao is hidden and nameless, yet it is only the Tao. It excels in giving and completing everything.
Thank you, Brian. Let's go through it with the Stephen Mitchell. Anyone have a comment at this point? I'm thinking paradox when I see this.
I agree. Absolutely. That's what came to mind as well.
I was going to say what I thought was interesting is in the first part, it says some people get it and some people don't. Essentially, my sponsor is always talking about in recovery, people have varying levels of consequences and some get it and some don't. That's what related to me.
It gives three different levels in all of these. Yeah. In that first stanza of talking about getting the Tao, or I don't think there's a comprehension, but maybe three different levels that the Tao speaks to. That's the way I like to describe it, because it speaks to me. But I've had other friends in recovery. When I penned the book, I gave it to a friend of mine who I think has a much better program than I have, more time, just a better program all around, and just more mature, all those things. And I gave it to her to read, and she said, "This just doesn't speak to me. I don't get it." And I was like, wow, that was the first time someone that had a very good program, in my opinion, didn't get it. And I was like, huh. And then I realized that with the Tao and talking about the Tao Te Ching and all these things, it doesn't speak to everyone the same way. I think it's important that we accept that. And if it speaks to us, we listen. We don't fight it and resist. And there's three levels there it talks about: the superior man, the average man, and the foolish man, or higher people, average people, lower people. That's the three different ones, more or less, they all talk about. The superior man hears the Tao and begins to embody it or begins to practice. The average man hears the Tao. He half believes it, half doubts it, may half ass do it. Okay, we go that route. And this could relate to recovery just right out, plain as day. When I came in, I was hurting. And I started to do what they told me to do. Granted, it took me 6 years to put together a year. I had difficulty with the surrender aspect of this. I did start practicing it as diligently as I could. I see people come in the program like you're talking about, Brian. They either come in and they work it to the best of their ability, which for me meant get a sponsor, do what the sponsor tells you to do, which is the hardest part for me. Go to meetings, do what I'm told, really. They say that if you want what we have, you do what we did. My sponsor wasn't overbearing with that. He just instructed me on what he had to do. And I was a successful guy, had the wife and the two kids and the new Suburban and the lake house and all the stuff, but I couldn't quit drinking. He told me that I just needed to be quiet and listen. Nobody needed what I had. Who the F is this talking to me this way? Hey, I've heard me talk about that before. But I had to not only surrender to a higher power, to the higher power, which changes over time, I had to surrender to my sponsor and quit fighting him. I had to quit fighting the people in the meeting, because the first thing I did when I came into a room was I looked around to see who was smarter or more successful than I was, and I'd find a way to knock them down below me every time. That was my ego at work constantly. I know none of y'all ever did that kind of thing. But the average person just half-ass does it. Believes it and doubts it. I can see that. The foolish man laughs out loud. And this is the interesting line in that. If he didn't laugh, it wouldn't be the Tao. I wouldn't have thought that would have been there. What does that speak to you guys? If he doesn't laugh, it wouldn't be the Tao. What do you think that would mean?
To me, I see it as it's okay if people don't get it. It's okay if people make fun of it. That's fine. They're in their place right now. We don't need to beat them over the head with anything, tell them they're wrong, tell them they're not getting it, force them to do things our way. That's just the stage they're in right now, and the Tao doesn't take it personally. It's totally fine with it. That's just where they are. And talking about recovery, I know a lot of people who make fun of AA or make fun of just people who aren't drinking anymore, aren't using anything anymore. And it's not my job to convince them otherwise, just my job to do, you know, the next right thing.
That's good. Thank you, Drew. That reminds me, just in the last 2 or 3 years, I really don't know when I crossed this gap in thinking. There's no one that's incorrect. That's where I'm at now. There's no one there's no reason to compare my spirituality or sobriety with anyone else, because everyone is right where they can be. I don't know supposed to, but I do. They're where they are. Everyone is where they are, maybe a good way to say that. And they couldn't be anywhere else. So who am I to compare their path to my path? I titled this How to Surrender. And the way I was grateful for this one really speaks to me. The one genuinely seeking sobriety surrenders with all their heart. The one who thinks they are ready surrenders until it is uncomfortable. The fool laughs out loud and exclaims, "It couldn't be this simple." If the fool didn't think it ridiculous, surrender would be useless. I can see that. Who reads the paradoxes, the AA paradoxes, and if they are not coming from a place of some spirituality, they'll think they're ridiculous. Are y'all familiar with the paradoxes?
I'm not.
Okay, let me find them and we will read them. Dennis.
Yes, I was thinking here with the laughter there. I don't think it's laughing at the Tao itself. It's like laughing at yourself or laughing at the ego at the same time. That is how I read into this thing, that you laugh out loud, that Buddha laughter when you're sitting still and you recognize that you're in ego and you can laugh at yourself, or even in your daily work or whatever it is you're doing, and you're doing that. And then I really like the last one. There's also the last one that says that the Tao is nowhere to be found, yet it nourishes and completes all things, right? So it is nothing and it is everything at the same time. There's laughter to be found in there. it just resonates that way with me.
Thank you, Dennis. These are the four AA paradoxes. I won't read the full because they're long, but the paradoxes are: we surrender to win, we give away to keep, we suffer to get well, and we die to live. I'll put a link to the PDF or a link to where you can download these in the episode notes.
Those seem like they came straight out of this chapter.
Don't they?
You could stick them in there and they wouldn't seem out of place.
No, not at all. Not at all. And they were in the second edition of the big book, but not the third or fourth, I believe. I know they're not in the fourth, but they're very well quoted. and it's from the story, The Professor and the Paradox. It's one of the most quoted from a story in the big book, that the story's no longer in the big book. So I will put a link to those, but all four of those are counterintuitive or counter to your thinking, let's say. Wait a minute. I win by surrendering? How can that be? Wait a minute. If I want to keep something, I've got to give it away? That makes no sense. And what really works on people is when they get into recovery and they're told that to recover, you've got to give away what you have in order to keep it. In other words, you've got to go help another to maintain your sobriety. And you don't believe it, but you go start doing it. You start being kind and you realize that people are kind. You start understanding that whatever you want, you've got to give it away to get it. In other words, then you realize if you hang around long enough and continue working this program in more of your life, you realize that it can work in business too. It can work in family. It can work in everything. That's the hard part. A lot of people in AA never get there to applying this in a lot of their life. They still trust their own resources, their own intelligence, still walk in fear in financial areas. Fear of financial insecurity is one that I'm still working myself. We suffer to get, I suffer until I surrender. Yeah. And of course, the die to live. Those are very applicable. And a lot of folks will just say, there's no way, that's ridiculous. The people who come at recovery from a self-help perspective, that's not a surrender perspective. There's a line in the big book that says that talks about, or in some AA literature, that no amount of self-help was any help at all. Something to that. And the mental understanding of our condition did not help me. No matter how much I read about it, that's what's happening. That didn't keep me from drinking. It didn't matter how much I understood it. It didn't help me until I learned to surrender and let go and stop fighting. I had no success at all. Yeah, that's good. Brian?
When I first got into recovery, my sponsor would ask me, is this the hill you want to die on? And I used to think, dude, if you say that one more time. But now looking back, I had no surrender. I had none. And it was like, I remember one time my dad, and one of his quotes was, and he was usually screaming it, was, the harder it is, the better I like it. And that's how I grew up. I just thought, man, when it got tough, that's when you really freaking dig in. And that does not work. I've had to learn that lesson the hard way several times.
Thank you, Brian.
That's all I got. Thank you.
I can try. And I heard someone say my do-gooder broke. I can't do gooder. I can't do better. And he said, do gooder. It broke. I can't do any better. I can't do any gooder. I said, yeah, I know the feeling. The path into the light seems dark. The path forward seems to go back. The direct path seems long. True power seems weak. And I'm seeing those paradoxes all in this. True purity seems tarnished. True steadfastness seems changeable. True clarity seems obscure. The greatest seem to be unsophisticated. The greatest love seems indifferent. The greatest wisdom seems childish. The greatest love seems indifferent.
Could you say that when you say that the greatest wisdom seems childish, that it also seems simple?
Yes.
Is that another word for it, right? I really love all these paradoxes. It is not what it seems to be all the time. That is so good. And also rendering in it.
Do what?
It's just like the paradoxes. They're surrendering in all this.
Oh, surrendering it, yes.
Surrendering to it's not your knowledge that you think it is, right?
Yes.
And I like the true power seems weak because I have a weak, that is it, I have a weak will, right? So if I get rid of that, there's some true power beyond that. You would call the Tao.
The phrase, the biblical phrase for that from Paul's thorn in the flesh is the weaker I get, the stronger I become. And that really is true, or has been true for me. All this is about letting go, too. And it's easy. I was talking to someone just yesterday. They thought they were moving slow on their spiritual path. I'm doing all this stuff, but I don't seem to be getting anywhere. I'm still doing this and that. I'm still screwing up. And I go, oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Just slow down. You got to cut yourself some slack. And the picture of spirituality that my ego creates and true spirituality, I think, are two entirely different things. I used to have this picture of spirituality as, you know, I'm floating about foot off the ground all the time and I'm constantly all of that. But that's not how it is. It's really more for me of what I'm learning is all of the spirituality is teaching me, allowing me to surrender and be in the moment, being present in more moments of the day. It's all pointing me to this moment. Think about it. All of those, you're not trusting in your own abilities in all of those paradoxes. The path into the light appears to you to be dark. It doesn't say it's dark, but it seems that way. So for me, all of these are playing on my fears. They're bringing my fears to light, which is what we learn in recovery, that all of our character defects, all the things that we drank over, ultimately come from a source of fear, some fear. So the steps help us to surrender those fears or surrender to those fears, ever how we want to frame it. And when we surrender, those fears always take me out of the moment. They take me into yesterday with regret or tomorrow about worry. They never keep me in the moment. And when I surrender to all of that and learn to replace fearful actions with compassionate or kind actions, they always bring me to the moment. I can't think of you in the future or the past. I can only think of you and do something kind in this moment. That's all. Everything's bringing us to where our feet are. Everything is. That's what I've learned about spirituality. If God is love, we can only show compassion or receive compassion in this moment. And all of these that we're seeing here are part of the illusion. I really like Course in Miracles in that the Course in Miracles talks a lot about the illusion and that our problem is that we believe the illusion. The path forward seems to go back. The direct path seems long when it should seem the shortest, right? It should be the shortest. And it may be, but it seems long. All of this is about believing the lie, believing the illusion, instead of just doing the next right thing or the next helpful thing, taking the next helpful action. My friend I was talking to yesterday, I told them, I said, okay, let's not worry about results. How can you be helpful in this moment? What can you do to be helpful right now? And I'm not talking about huge things. I'm talking about what can I do? What I can do right now is listen to you guys instead of coming into the podcast with an agenda and have what I want to say and have it all outlined out, tolerate your comments and then just say what I want. That's not being helpful. I've learned to listen. If I'm in an online meeting and I'm having difficulty with that, I'll go around to every square. I'll send love to them. I'll ask how I can help them today. I'll open my heart to them. I'll do that. I'll do that in a face-to-face meeting a lot of times while they're reading the promises and how it works and all those things, just so I can be more present. Actually, I can only do that in this moment. I can only do that right now. All of those are the illusions. But the one that the greatest love seems indifferent. We had someone in our local meeting, actually, and you'll see this some, it was the son of a guy that died a couple of years ago that had 40 years when he passed. Now his son's coming in and he went and got drunk again. And one of the members called another member, a female member called a male member, and this is a guy. And so the male member would be the one to work with the son. She said, "He's drunk. What are you going to do?" He said, "I'm not going to do anything. I'm to be here when, if someone reaches out." He's not reaching out. He's getting drunk. "I'm available if he reaches out." And the lady was just livid. So what are you going to do? What we got to do? No, we don't. That's what we learn in recovery, that we have to, we suffer to get well. He's still suffering. We can't fix him. He has to get to a point of surrender. And when, if he reaches out, we're available. And that's hard to, but that can be that, you could say tough love, that Al-Anon kind of love that seems indifferent, but it's not. Brian?
I was just thinking about, I'm a fixer. And if I don't let people have the dignity of fixing their own problems in a roundabout way, I'm telling them I'm right and you're not capable of fixing it.
And also, Brian, I have to come from a place instead of, okay, this is what you need to do, even when they come asking for help.
Yeah.
I just tell them how I did it.
Yeah.
This is what I did. And if it's anything more than my experience, I'm better off not saying anything. And maybe my sponsor has told me before, I have no experience with that. Let me talk to my sponsor about it. You know, for a man that knows everything, that is a very surrendered comment to make. Dennis is smiling because he knows my sponsor. He is a guy that knows everything. You ask his opinion on something, oh, he knows it. But when it comes to, if he's spiritually fit, when it comes to recovery, he handles that the correct way. And I have to watch myself. Sometimes I'll want to get over into advice, and we don't give advice. We share our experience. Well, and the great thing about that is I don't have to take the responsibility of someone getting sober. That's totally up to them. I don't take the credit when they get sober, the blame if they get drunk. I just share how I did it. And what they do with my experience is up to them. That's what the big book was about. The big book is experience. And they used it. People got sober off of reading the big book. All the stories in the back of the big book, that's the reason for the stories. You've got how they did it in the first 164. Then you've got all the stories. And the stories are personal experience of how they got sober. And that's the attitude that we're to take if we follow a 12-step program. That's what I've been shown would be my attitude in working with others. Comments?
Hey, buddy.
Yes, ma'am.
So the paradox conversation and being in the present moment are too perfect for me this week. I had a loss of a pet. It was very, and it's interesting. I appreciate my pets more and more because they allow me to allow emotion where I was completely shut down, blocked off, avoiding, numbing. And it's just how it was. And there's nothing wrong. That's just how I was raised. And my experience of successful people is they're not emotional. They just get, dig in and do it. But what I noticed was each time I allow, so it's not just for me about being present. I have to be willing to allow whatever it is to be. In this case, it was grief and just weeping. And that is so not like me. Yeah. And it's so in a way, it feels like this verse, it feels, I wrote a little poem, it feels harsh and heartless and brutal. But when I listened to and asked to find a good meditation to think into, and she was, may my breath and these feelings flow like a river. Oh, and you can just feel the relief from that. Like, just don't try and resist it. Let it, allow it to flow. And the last one just gets me. May my heart break open to hold the vastness of this love. So the breaking is creating the healing in a way, which is just right along with what we're talking about here today. That's that grief. That's the only way I can make sense of it, quite frankly. And it's nice that the Tao backed me up because when I was in the moment, I write, and what I wrote was, does the pain create more space for joy? And do the levels adjust if allowed to balance and flow? And I think that's what happens. But the opposites are there, playing around back and forth, and you just are in on the ride. And it comes back into balance for me as long as I allow it and don't block it and resist it. How sweet that this was the reading today, and perfect.
As usual. Okay. Lori, you talk about allowing and not blocking. That's the only way you can stay in the moment. You're in the moment when you do that. Michael Singer talks a lot about it. I've talked about his podcast. I would highly recommend. I've gone back and listened to all three seasons twice, I think. He talks a lot about just letting those emotions, when they come up, just flow on through, letting them go, not holding on to them. And that's the only way we can stay in the moment, is when we quit following after what seems, because all of those seems in this are my thinking. Oh, this is supposed to be the short path, but it sure does seem long. How long is this going to take? I'm gone. I'm not where my feet are for a second when I'm doing that. With all of those. That's good. How about this very last stanza? The Tao is nowhere to be found, yet it nourishes and completes all things. Or one of the other translations says, the Tao is hidden and nameless, yet it is only the Tao that excels in giving and completing everything. The Tao lies hidden, yet it alone is the glorious light of this world. So are we unable to find? So if we look for the Tao, we're not going to see it? Is that what that's saying? That we see the fruit of the Tao? Dennis?
Yes. Actually, it sounds like if you're looking for it, you're not in the moment.
Yes.
Because then you're looking for it somewhere else.
Yeah.
And it's completely right here, right now.
Yes.
And that's why and you get that feeling when you figure it out, like I just realized with you when you said that. So yes, it is right here, right now. So if you're looking for it, you're not in the moment.
That's like our trying to describe God. We want to find God. We want this, air quotes, relationship. And the harder we look, the more difficult we find it is to find it. So what we have to do is just start practicing. I was taught that if God is love, then if I start loving people, the fruits of love will show up in my life. That's much different than the Christianity I was taught early. My beliefs in that have changed. I thought we had this framework of belief. This is what we believe. So I pursued that, and then I changed. What I found is I have to take the action, and then I change inside. I act my way into right thinking instead of think my way into right acting. That's the opposite. I don't start now from a place of belief. I start from a place of action. I know that if I give away then I'm going to get what I need. If I'm helpful in this moment, that's what that means. Then I always have the help I need in the moment. So I've learned to, what can I do in the moment? I used to think it was those big things. I'm going to give money for this or this big project or whatever it is. But that's not in the moment. That's out in the future. So I'm still not in the moment. So it's just what I can do in the moment. When I'm in my car driving, be considerate. Don't run up on people. Don't. I used to be bad about if somebody was riding my behind real close, I'd slam on my brakes and make them back off. Instead, I smile at those people now, even though they can't see me. That helps to soften me if I'm spiritually fit. And that's about when I'm driving, maybe 80% of the time now. I give myself a B plus, probably. Not an A yet, but B plus on my behaving in my driving. It's gotten much better. When I'm in Walmart, my honestly least favorite place to be, I say hello to the lady at the cash register. If I do have to check out my own groceries, which I think they should give me a discount for doing, and they don't, I'm automatically aggravated. So I don't slam my groceries around. I just check myself out. And if I can't handle it, I'll wait in line. If I'm not that spiritually fit, I'll just wait and let somebody else check me out because I know how I'll behave. When I'm on my way into Walmart, if there's a piece of trash on the ground, there usually is, I'll pick it up and put it in the trash just so I can give a little on my way in, and it always helps my experience to be better. See, that's that moment-by-moment helpfulness that we can do. And that can flow through any interaction that we have all day. We can come at that action from a place of fear, which the fear is what produced my anger because things were not the way I wanted them to be. And I thought I had to control these things to get the outcome that I thought I needed. I was over in the seeming part, not what was true. Yeah. So we don't seek the Tao. We don't seek God. Or I don't. I just learned to practice God. And I think it was Drew that was talking about, I no longer judge how other people talk about the higher power either, Drew. I do my best not to. I'm conscious of it. Whatever we believe is what we believe, and it needs no judgment.
So it's a paradox with keep seeking that we're talking about in step 11, that we keep seeking that power greater than ourselves. So it's a paradox to that because it's already here.
Yes, it is, Dennis. That's been my experience. But look at how it says we seek. This is step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understand him. It's not even telling us what God is. It says you understand God, which could be however you understand God. But the way you're seeking, and it says praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out, sought through prayer and meditation. I was taught that prayer was asking and meditation is listening. And my seeking now is almost exclusively meditation. The only time it's praying is praying for you. So I can surrender more of my fear and my resentments and those things. That's the only time prayer comes in for me now, because I've gotten to the point I believe I already have everything. I'm already complete. There's nothing I don't have. Anything I think I don't have, I'm in the second part of these paradoxes where things seem a particular way. I seem to not have what I need, but I really do. So I'm over in the thinking about it. That's good. So ever how you express your higher power, or now I know it's the higher power because now I'm to the point that I believe there's only one and it's everything. There's not different ones. But I don't have to correct someone. Like someone doesn't have to think what I think, or they don't have to even know what I think. It's just their own individual, I'd say God language or love language, if you want to say it. Dennis, you were raised speaking Dutch, is that right?
Danish. We're not from the Netherlands. That's a common mistake that everybody does over here. Are you Dutch? No, I'm Danish.
I thought it was the same thing. It's not the same thing.
No, the Netherlands are located west of Germany. We are north of Germany. We have our own little country, Denmark. We speak Danish.
But I thought
we eat Danish too.
Okay. If Dennis is speaking Danish, that doesn't mean he's speaking an incorrect language because he's not speaking English, not speaking the same. I speak a form of English. That doesn't mean he's incorrect or that I'm correct or any of that. That's just his native tongue. Nothing wrong with that. If I look at everyone's walk and spirituality, sobriety that way, then they have their own language. They have their own walk. They have their own God language. It's not up to me to judge whether that's right or wrong. That's just theirs. So when we end the meeting with the Lord's Prayer, for a long time, I couldn't say the Lord's Prayer with them. I'd keep my mouth shut because I'd grown to believe that God wasn't up in the sky. God, and all those things. I'm going through all the stuff in my head. I'm not saying nothing, but I'm fighting it, even though I'm not saying anything. Now I realize that's a common language that we can all share. I don't have to believe it the particular way that it's being said. That's just a common language we can share. Doesn't mean I'm being unfaithful to my higher power by doing that. It's just something we can share together with no judgment. That really helped me when I was able to make that step. I no longer judge the folks that came in and talked about their God a particular way. I can start using the word God again because it's still part of my language. It's a way to describe love to me. Yeah, I can't find love, but I can practice it. I can practice it. And the great thing is I don't have to practice it the rest of my life. Just in this moment, how can I be helpful right now? That's the easiest way for me to do it. Then if I keep doing it more moments, before I know it, I'm doing it a lot more during the day than I was before. And then I'm able to be, I see that coming back because it's all a mirror. Brian?
I was thinking about what you said. You can't find love. And what come up to me is you can't find peace, can't find contentment, whatever word you want to add in there. And I think it was in here that was talking about the story about the guy going up the mountain and searching, thinking that he gets to the top of the mountain and you're going to have this epiphany and all you're going to do is be freaking exhausted sitting on top of a mountain with yourself.
And there's no nutrition on top of the mountain. All the nutrition's down in the valley.
Yeah.
Yeah. You reminded me, Brian, we talk about, for me, love is what I would do outwardly, but the way I experience that is in peace and joy. Peace in my mind, my will, and my emotions. And then if I'm peaceful within, it's seen outwardly as joy. There's a Bible verse actually with that. Romans 14 says the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. I think that's what it's talking about. But peace and joy is how I feel the reciprocation of love every time. That's what I'm looking for constantly, is that contentment. That's what I was always looking for before. Yeah, that's good. Thank you. Drew?
Yeah, what Brian mentioned about going up the mountain reminds me, I think it's Alan Watts quote, I'm going to mangle it, but something like the only joy, the only peace you find at the top of the mountain is the joy and peace you bring with you. And that stuck in my head for a long time. And I try to apply that to other parts of my life. If I think about unsatisfied in my job right now, boy, another job would really make me feel better. The only happiness I'm going to find in any job is the happiness I bring to it. If I'm unhappy with a relationship and think getting in a relationship with somebody else, or that'll make me feel better. Well, the only love I'm going to find in a new relationship is the love I bring to the relationship. And traveling, I guess that's like the mountain, going up the mountain. If I'm looking to go on a vacation and hope to find a bunch of relaxation contentment in the vacation. Well, the only relaxation I'm going to find there is the relaxation I bring with me. So just good message about not hoping that external things are going to bring me the things that I can already find within myself.
Yeah, we seem to not have those things, right, Drew? Mm-hmm. But we already have it. We just have not surrendered our way to it yet. I close out the 41st verse with, how do I surrender? Question mark. Let the God of my understanding know I want to get sober regardless of what it takes. I had a sponsee one time that he couldn't get sober. And I asked him, I said, he kept drinking. He was doing the best he could. He was trying as hard as he could try. I asked him, I said, have you prayed the prayer yet? He said, what prayer? I said, have you told your higher power that you want to get sober regardless of what it takes? He says, no, I'm not praying that. I said, until you do, I doubt you get sober. I remember hearing myself pray that. And when I was praying that, I heard myself say it. And in my head, I said, oh, shit, what did I just pray? And then I realized what I was saying. That's surrender, regardless of what it takes. We don't know how dangerous. We think that prayer is dangerous. But if we pray that prayer, we're setting ourselves up to suffer. Because it takes suffering to really recover. For me, and in AA, we're taught that alcohol is the convincer. I had a relative that was drinking heavy, and a relative spouse called me and said, hey, they're drinking heavy. What do I do? I said, buy them more liquor. What? I said, they have to get to a point that they won't help. So make sure they have plenty of liquor to drink. Now, that seems indifferent, doesn't it? That seems callous. But I know from experience that I had to drink my fill is how they say it. I had to suffer until I was ready to surrender, because the suffering is what causes me to surrender, not the understanding. That's good. Thank you. Any other comments? Good to have all y'all today. Good conversation. Hope to see you next week.
Hello, this is Buddy C. I wanted to make you aware of several recovery-related resources that I've posted in the episode description. These resources include a list of recovery podcasts, a free sober meditation app, daily recovery email, shared Google recovery calendars. Hope you put some of these resources to use, and have a great week.
Thank you for listening to the Tao of Our Understanding Recovery Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends in recovery.